Psalm 36.
Psalm 36. We'll be reading the psalm in its entirety. If you're using a Pew Bible, you will find this on page 757. Page 757. Page 757. Psalm 36. This is the word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. O beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have some rhetorical questions for you today, for you to consider, to contemplate, to think about as you're sitting there. What are you looking for in life? What are you looking for in life? For what do you hunger and thirst? What satisfies your deepest longings? What is your future hope? Where are you headed? What is life all about anyway? Well, our text for today, which is verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 36, this text gives us the proper and best answers to those questions. As in these two verses, the psalmist demonstrates that our life is found in God. Our life is found in God. Now, Psalm 36, as you can tell from what we were reading and also what we were singing just a few moments ago, Psalm 36 paints a vivid contrast between the wicked on the one hand and God's faithfulness on the other. This, of course, is not the only psalm where there's a similar contrast. We can think of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Clear contrast, which serves as an introduction for the entire Psalter. There are wicked people, And there are righteous people, not righteous because of their own goodness, but righteous because of the righteousness of Christ, and then the working out of that righteousness in their sanctification. And so Psalm 36, similarly to Psalm 1, paints that vivid contrast, that stark contrast, we could say, between the wicked, but here, not the righteous, but God's faithfulness. Here, the fountain of righteousness, the fountain of life, God, is contrasted with those who are unrighteous. But in portraying God's faithfulness, it also celebrates the blessing that he is to us. Notice I did not say the blessing that he gives to us. Rather, the blessing that he is to us by our having a relationship with him. This is a lesson which all of us need to learn. It's a lesson that all of us need to learn. Certainly I need to learn. He is our blessing. It's not just he brings blessing. He is our blessing. He is the one who provides that refreshing drink. As we do an overview of Psalm 36, we see it begins with a title to the chief musician or to the choir director, written by King David, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. We've mentioned the wickedness of the evil man. The root has to do with the attitudes regarding sin and God and self in terms of there was no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes, and so forth. And so the attitudes with regard to sin and God and himself, and then the branches from that root, the outward and inner sins. Then the psalmist goes on to speak of God's faithfulness, which is compared to the heavens, and like the mountains, and like a great deep. Isn't that interesting? Verse 5, your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And earlier, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. And your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And then coming down a bit from the clouds, your righteousness is like the great mountains. We see these majestic mountains, for example. But again, notice, verse 6, your judgments are a great deep. Isn't that interesting? And so we can soar, as it were, with regard to celebrating God's mercy and faithfulness. But we also realize that we can go deep, as it were, with God. And so your judgments, then, are a great deep. God's faithfulness is seen in preserving life of both man and beast. Talking about creation, we had the prayer request earlier with regard to preserving creation. And so we see that God is concerned with animals and so forth. You preserve man and beast. We see then God's faithfulness being precious. Verse 7a, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. And that loving kindness, that faithfulness, is protective of his people. Therefore, verse 7b, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. We are shielded. We are shielded by God's wings. In verses 8 and 9, we see God's faithfulness that provides life and light, which are related concepts. And then verses 10 through 12, God's faithfulness leads us to pray for his favor. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you. and your righteousness to the upright in heart. So, as we look now, as we focus in on verses 8 and 9, which the psalmist demonstrates that our life is found in God, I want to focus on three basic things: drinking, delighting, and seeing. Drinking, delighting, and seeing. And as we go through this message, I know that I have borrowed from commentators like Matthew Henry and other sources as well. And so this is not completely unique to me. But we preachers borrow from commentators and so forth. So first of all, look at verse 8a, drinking. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Now, this figure of drinking, then, you give them drink from the river of your pleasures and the fullness of your house, this implies, I mean, why do you drink? Because you're thirsty. So drink, the figure of drinking implies great thirst as well as need. And that thirst, of course, that need, if you will, can be both objective and subjective. We do have a need in terms of getting the refreshment of God in terms of our lives, but we also subjectively sense that need. And this is what the psalmist then is realizing. You give them drink. You give them drink. Notice that the need then, this implies, verse 8a, it implies that the need has been met and the thirst is quenched. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. You give them drink from the river. And so let me ask you, have you had your need met? Have you had your need met? Have you drunk your fill? That is to say, have you drunk of God and His fullness? This need is met, as we see here, because of the abundance of God's house. He will never run out. His storehouse is never empty. And so we see then, that's because of the abundance of the house of God. Notice that a gracious soul would want more of God, but never more than God. A gracious soul wants more of God. He wants more to drink of God, but never more than God, because in God is found his life. And so, drinking then. Secondly, delighting. And here again, we look at verse 8. God is the one who directly quenches our thirst. Even as we sang from Psalm 63 today, as we began our worship service with Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. If you've ever been in a very dry place like a desert, very hot day, you're sweating, you're thirsty. That's the picture that you have there with regard to Psalm 63. God is the one, then, who directly quenches our thirst. And not only are thirst then, but then also gives them drink from the river of your pleasures. As we look at this notion of the river, we're reminded of Ezekiel 47. Remember the river that flows from the temple? The river that flows from the temple. Why the temple? As the prophet looks at that in Ezekiel 47, because it is based upon Christ's sacrifice, his being sacrificed at the temple, by which we have the flowing of all blessings. And so the river flows from the temple because it points back to the sacrifice, to the death of Christ, as the basis for the blessings that we enjoy. There is, of course, abundant life in the river. The river waters all kinds of fruitful trees, and many fish swim in it, as we see in Ezekiel 47. And so God provides the river. We see this also in the very end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Crystal clear water is for the watering of the tree of life. And just as Miyoshi often asks prayer for this world, for this crazy world that we live in and all the wickedness that we see in it, which of course includes the animosity, the warfare, nations going to war against each other, God provides for us a tree whose leaves bring about the healing of the nations. Again, the river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now we also see then in terms of delighting, we see God's river, but then he goes on to say, the river of your pleasures, or we could say the river of thy delights. It's interesting that the word Eden, which as you know is the garden in which mankind started, Eden, the term, the word Eden is the root of the word delights. So those are related. As Matthew Henry said, the crystal clear water is in contrast to the putrid puddle water. Isn't that great? The putrid, the dirty puddle. You ever stepped in a puddle, a muddy puddle? You say, ooh. But in contrast to that dirty puddle water of worldly delights, of sensual delights, God provides crystal clear water. What does this indicate? Pleasures of sin are but for a season. But those pleasures of sin can never truly satisfy. But God provides the river in which all delight is found. And so drinking and delighting, and now verse 9, seeing. You see, God has the answer to life. The world seeks the answer to life in its own foolish and blind way. That's why he talks about light here. The world seeks the answer to life in its own foolish and blind way. You remember Hernando de Soto, who sought, you remember the guy that went to Florida, who sought the fountain of youth, as people do today. People are always looking for that fountain of youth. I was just saw something on the internet recently. Oh, someone has discovered the secret for living forever. Really? Don't think so. But people are always looking for it because they're seeking for the answer in terms of this life rather than in terms of God. Hernando de Soto sought the fountain of youth. And our society that is given over to pleasure seeks aimlessly for life. And it's like they're blind, and they are blind. They're blind, and so they seek aimlessly. It's like they're blind, and they're trying to find their way, but they can't find it. But God is the author and source of life. For with you, the psalmist says, is the fountain of life. My friends, it is Christ himself who offers this fountain of life. Christ is God, and therefore he can offer eternal life for those who believe in him. As we read today from John chapter 4, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. He spoke to her of living water. He asked her for a drink in order to get her talking, if you will. And they spoke to her of living water, not simply what you pull up out of a well, but living water. This water, this living water, could be the Holy Spirit himself or salvation considered as a whole. Think of some of water's qualities. It is a gift from God. We're to give praise, we're to bless God for our daily bread, but also for our drink, including our water. You can't live without water. It is indispensable to man and is a gift from God. Water meets a universal need. All are in need of it. There's not one person, from the richest to the poorest, that doesn't need water. I don't care how much money you have, if you don't have water, you're going to die. It is a blessing. It cools. It slakes the thirst. It refreshes and it satisfies. Indeed, we never tire of it. And Christ comes to us today and says, I offer you living water. And then at the end of verse 9, we see, in thy light we see light. In thy light we see light. Light is sort of like a signpost, an emblem of all blessings and a means to gain more. Hell is pictured as a place of darkness. But God and heaven, you see, heaven is portrayed in terms of the glory, in terms of the light, and the light that shines in terms of bringing the will of God, enabling us to see things. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is that the end of this verse, in thy light we see light, many times is applied with regard to revelation. We have, again, the world saying, this is the way to live your life. This is how we've experienced happiness. This is the answer to life in terms of all the science and whatever it may be. But God has a higher revelation by which we shine the light of that higher revelation, that special revelation, upon general revelation. Because in thy light, we see light. In thy light, in the light of the Word of God, we see light. And we're enabled then to live properly. Notice that the Holy Trinity is involved in this light. The Father of lights is how the Father, God the Father, is referred to. Christ is the one who is the light of the world, John 1, verse 9. And the Holy Spirit is the illuminator of the mirror. What is the mirror? Well, it is the Word of God. It is the Scriptures. which the Spirit inspired. And so the scriptures are themselves the light, but the Holy Spirit then also illuminates that mirror so that we can see what is written there. Here, light basically indicates joy, but also purity, clarity, and truth. In thy light we see light. Well, 2 points of application. The first is this: true happiness is found only in God. True happiness is found only in God. For the psalmist here demonstrates that our life is found in God, and therefore true happiness is found only in Him. Think of the pleasures that the world offers. What are people looking for? Fame, fortune, sex, sports. I'm sure there are a lot of folks talking today about the basketball games yesterday, instead of concentrating on the Sabbath of God. How many times do we see, 2/3 of a mile away, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, those that are involved in those pleasures? Not that I'm against all sports, but they get so caught up in those things, and many times allow those things directly to supplant interest, a genuine spiritual interest. Realize, however, that all those worldly and fleshly pleasures will never truly satisfy. They never satisfy deeply, and they cannot satisfy eternally. Only in the Lord will you have all of your soul's needs met. True happiness is found only in God. And then finally, by way of question, have you learned to drink from the river of God? For as we mentioned, it is the river that flows from Christ and His sacrifice that provides us with this pleasure and with the answer to life itself. In Him alone is found refreshment. In Him alone is found the answers to life's questions. As the Jews during the day of Christ said, never man spoke like this man. In Him alone is found the pardon for sins. Through Him alone can we have peace and fellowship with God, and through His gospel we have all that we need. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Our life is found in God. Amen. Will you please stand for prayer? And Lord, we are so grateful for this opportunity for worship today. We pray that the message would penetrate deeply into our souls. We pray, Father, that that we all here would be seeking the living water of which Jesus spoke. We pray that we would not be given over to sin or sensualistic delights, the pleasures of this life. We pray that we would understand that those pleasures are futile to pursue. And so be pleased, Father, to bless this message to our souls. We thank Thee for this. In Jesus' name.